And then verse 30, whatever offense I have committed out of disrespect with my body, speech, and mind against the three jewels, against mothers and fathers, and against spiritual mentors and others, and whatever terrible vices I, a person who has done negative actions, defiled with many faults, have done, O guides, I confess them all. Okay? So here we're confessing any negative actions that we may have done with a mind of disrespect and that we've done by means of body, speech, and mind. Harmful actions that we've done with our body, like killing, stealing, unwise sexual behavior, harmful actions we've done verbally, lying, creating disharmony, harsh words, gossip, negative actions we've done mentally, having, you know, a mind full of coveting and attachment, or ill will, or wrong views, okay? Whenever we've been disrespectful towards those who are worthy of respect, yeah, then we're confessing all of this. So we may have been disrespectful towards the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, okay? Criticizing Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, you see people do it all the time, yeah? Stealing the offerings that have been given to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, yeah? So these kinds of disrespectful actions, you know, we're confessing these. We're confessing things that we've done against our parents, okay? When we've had spoken negatively to our parents, okay? When we've called them names or lost our temper, yeah? Okay. Now, it's true. It's impossible to please our parents all the time. Yeah, we can't please our parents 100% of the time. But not pleasing them is different than having a negative attitude and swearing at them or throwing things at them or screaming at them and calling them names. Okay? So we're regretting those kind of disrespectful actions. We're also regretting ways in which we have disrespected our spiritual mentors, okay? Because our relationship with our Dharma teachers is a very, very important relationship. In fact, I would say it's the most important relationship in our life, because this is the person that's going to teach us the Dharma, which is going to enable us to get out of cyclic existence. If we then turn our back on this person and criticize them and get angry at them and call them names and speak in a very disrespectful way, we're harming ourselves very, very badly. It's creating a lot of negative karma, because here's the very person who's trying to lead us to enlightenment, who's being really kind and with compassion giving us teachings, and instead we're seeing them as an enemy. So when our mind sees somebody who's compassionate as an enemy, then our mind is really pretty messed up at that moment. Okay? So that kind of negativity, we really have to regret and repair that relationship. It's very important, because otherwise we run the risk of just, you know, leaving the Dharma altogether, and that's not very good to do. Okay? So we're regretting whatever terrible vices, you know, whatever mistaken actions that we've done, we're confessing and acknowledging all of them, okay, in the presence of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Then it says, how shall I escape it? Rescue me quickly. May death not soon creep up on me before my vices have vanished. So here, Shantideva, remember I was saying, he talks in the first person. So here he's talking himself, okay? And so he's trying to get us to talk in the same way. So asking ourselves, how shall I escape it? I've done all these negative actions. How am I going to avoid experiencing the painful results of them? Yeah, these negative karmic seeds are on my mind. Yeah? If I don't purify quickly and I die before I've purified, how am I going to avoid experiencing the painful results of my own actions? So that's what Shantideva is saying. You know, rescue me quickly. He's calling out to the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, saying, teach me how to purify my own mind. Rescue me from this kind of negativity. May death not soon creep up on me before my vices have vanished. In other words, may I not die before I've had a chance to purify. But then he goes on and reflects, death does not differentiate between tasks done and undone. This traitor is not to be trusted by the healthy or the ill, for it is like an unexpected great thunderbolt. Okay. So while we may not want to die soon, we may want to have a lot of time so that we can purify our negativities, death doesn't discriminate, yeah? When our karma is finished, or when a negative karma ripens to intervene and cause illness and an untimely death, we have no choice. Yeah, death can come when we're sick. It can come when we're healthy. Yeah, we know people who have been completely healthy one day and they were in a terrible car crash and they were dead the next day. Or they were healthy one day and they had a brain aneurysm and the next day they were dead. Or they had a heart attack and the next day they were dead. So death does not differentiate between the sick and the healthy. It can strike at any time. We have no idea. And death also doesn't differentiate between tasks done and tasks undone. So it's not like we can say, okay, I'm going to do everything I want to do and then I'll die. Okay? Because we always die with something undone. Because we're always in the middle of doing something. So if we all, you know, if we spend our time thinking, well, I'll practice Dharma later. First I have to do this other thing. I have plenty of time to live. I'm young. Death isn't going to happen soon. Death is going to happen later. After I do all these other things. After I finish all my worldly affairs. After I finish doing my Dharma practice. Then death will come. Is that a wise way to think? No, that's not very wise at all. Yeah, because death comes at any time, whether we're ready for it, whether we're not, whether we've practiced the Dharma, whether we haven't. So this mind that's always saying, I'll practice Dharma tomorrow, that mind is a big enemy. Yeah, that thought is a big enemy because we don't know if tomorrow we're going to be alive. Do we? Anybody have guarantees that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Can anybody guarantee for us that we're going to be alive tomorrow? Nobody can guarantee that, can they? Yeah. So if we're going to do Dharma practice, we have to do it now. Because now is the only time to practice the Dharma. It doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah, death can come at any moment, and we only have now to practice. So it's important that we practice now. The mind that's saying, later, later, first I'll make some money, I'll have a good time, I'll do this and that and the other thing, then later I'll practice the Dharma. Does later ever happen? Okay. So when we see that death could happen at any time, then we know we have to practice the Dharma right now. Yeah, very important. Why is it important? Because at the time of death, our body doesn't come with us, our friends don't come with us, our relatives don't come with us, our money and possessions don't come with us, our fame and reputation don't come with us, all of the praise and approval we've received don't come with us. The only thing that comes at the time of death is our karma and our mental habits. Those are the only things that come with the continuity of consciousness at the time of death. So we can spend our whole life working very hard to get money and possessions and a good reputation and love and appreciation, but none of those things come with us at the time of death, and what comes with us is all the negative karma we accumulated getting those things. Okay? By lying, by being dishonest, by talking behind people's backs. All of that negative karma comes. Okay? But what we created negative karma to get doesn't come at all. Okay? Even we're so famous and well respected that everybody in the world mourns when we die, we aren't even here to enjoy it. Yeah? What good or what use is a good reputation after you die? Yeah? Sometimes we sit there and we think, oh, people don't appreciate me enough and I'm so wonderful, but after I die, you know, at my funeral, then they're going to all be crying. They're going to say such nice, wonderful things about me. Where are you going to be at that time? Are you going to be around to hear and listen to it? Uh-uh. We're going to be in our next life. So people might be crying about us here. We have no idea. We're already in a next life. Okay? I have committed various vices for the sake of friends and enemies. This I have not recognized. Leaving everyone behind, I must pass away. My enemies will not remain, nor will my friends remain. I shall not remain. Nothing will remain. Whatever is experienced will fade to a memory. Like an experience in a dream, everything that has passed will not be seen again. Even in this life, as I have stood by, many friends and enemies have passed away, but terrible negativities induced by them remain ahead of me. Thus, I have not considered that I am ephemeral. Due to delusion, attachment, and hatred, I have committed many negativities. Day and night, a lifespan unceasingly diminishes, and there is no adding onto it. Shall I not die then? Okay, so what all these verses are saying is that for the benefit of our friends and relatives, we've created a lot of negative karma, and yet at the time of death, we separate from these friends and relatives. And even when we die, even if our friends and relatives are all around us, can they prevent us from dying? Not at all. Yeah. Even if they're all around us, they're holding our hand, saying, I love you so much, don't leave. Can that prevent us from dying? No. Okay. So, at the time of death, our friends and relatives can't really help us very much. In fact, sometimes they make it more difficult to die because they're crying and wailing, and instead of being able to focus on dying mindfully ourselves and generating a good motivation ourselves, the dying person feels like they have to take care of their friends and relatives. Something's backwards, isn't it? Okay? But for the sake of these same friends and relatives, we've done so many negative actions. And at the time we die, all that negative karma comes with us. Friends and relatives stay here, the negative karma we carry on with us to experience their unhappy results. Similarly, our enemies, the people we don't like, the people we can't stand, the people that we want to harm and retaliate because they've hurt us, yeah, those people are also gonna die. Yeah, when we die, they stay here. We go on alone. Why try and harm an enemy if they're gonna die someday? Yeah? What value is it harming somebody else if we're just gonna create negative karma, and when we go on to our next life, take that negative karma with us, whereas that enemy stays here? What use is it, you know, harming somebody else? Because all that kind of behavior just creates more negative karma, okay, more stuff for us to purify. So what in these verses, what Shantideva's doing is he's warning us against creating negative karma, yeah, in relationship to friends or enemies or even strangers. And he's also letting us know how important it is that we purify and practice the four opponent powers before we die, okay, so that we don't take that negative karma with us to the future lives.